shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I met this blessed Savior, since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made
something happened.
Something wonderful happened, and now I know he touched me and made me attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll,
whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
face the day when my faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
We can take offering, just go home, amen. Whew. Oh, thank you, Debbie and Derek, for filling in. Terry, man, that was, we didn't miss a beat on that. Amen, that was good. Aren't you so glad that my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to a cross and I bear it no more? Amen, that is an awesome thing. This morning I want to start, I think it was going to be a two-part series this week and next week on the Holy Spirit. And trying to figure out exactly how to do that. And so I'm going to start this morning with, I titled it just with this, the Holy Spirit, God with us. And that's what He is. He is, He is God with us. The person of the Holy Spirit is who we're going to discuss this morning. The person of the Holy Spirit, it is so vital to the Christian's life to understand the Holy Spirit. I believe that we have two ends of the spectrum. You have, the charismatics, charismatics. They're way out here, you know, and everything is about the Spirit and it's about emotion. And then the church I grew up in, was way over here. You know, we didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit that much. You know, if you said boo, you scare somebody in an independent church. And so they were just kind of out there on the opposite of the spectrum. And what we need is balance. We need balance, because the Holy Spirit is so vital to our work as the church. We can do nothing without it. He indwells us. And we need to understand what a gift, that's a gift from God gave to us, the church. No other time in history before now was that gift given. It came and it went, but not an indwelling like we had. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, God, with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, Father. We walk boldly into the throne room of grace. Not arrogantly, but Father, as children of the King. We come boldly, and Father, we ask for that grace that You so freely give. Father, we ask that You just pour it on us. Father, we ask for the illumination of the Spirit this morning. Teach us about Yourself, Holy Spirit. Teach us who You are. Who You are to us and the importance of this in our Christian lives. Father, I want to learn more. I want to be more like You. I want to conform myself into Your image. Let that happen here this morning, Father. We give You all the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not something that came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is not something that is confined or started in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning, right there in Genesis chapter 1. Before man ever breathed a breath, the Holy Spirit was already moving. Genesis does not begin with men or with angels or even creation itself. It begins with God, specifically with the Spirit of God hovering over the chaos. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. This is how the Bible opens up. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, this is the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1, 2. It's in the beginning of the Bible. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So the Holy Spirit is right there when we open the book, when we get started. From the opening verses of Scripture, the Spirit is active. He's moving. He's bringing life. He is God in motion, present before time, working within creation, preparing for redemption. We don't give a lot of thought to it, I don't think, sometimes. And I pray that we really learn about that and think about that over the next few weeks. The first point I want to talk about is the Spirit's presence in creation and in the gospel. I want to show you how these two are here together. He was there in the beginning. The Holy Spirit is not a New Testament idea. He is eternal. He is coexistent with the Father and the Son. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. They are co-eternal. There is not one over the other. But wait a minute, Pastor. When Jesus was here in the New Testament, he said that he submitted himself to the will of his Father. He did. He humbled himself, and he did that. Philippians clearly says, and he thought it not robbery. He thought it not wrong to be what? To be equal with God. But he humbled himself and became a man. So you have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. It is a faith doctrine. Explain that. I cannot explain it. I may do it next week. I know that Robert would appreciate this. I almost showed a video of a place called Lutheran Satire that explains the Holy Spirit. I may show it to you next week. It's hilarious. But it's about one of the best explanations of the Spirit that you can get. And it just tells you that it is a faith doctrine. It is something that we have to believe, one of those things by faith. But the Spirit is co-eternal, coexistent with the Father. He was there in Isaiah chapter 6 when the Trinity is having a conversation within itself, and it says, God didn't say, who shall I send, right? Isaiah 6, he said, who shall we send? Who will go for us, and who shall we send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. It was the Trinity having a conversation in and of itself. So the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. He brings order out of chaos. There in Genesis 1, we see the world was without form and without void. Without form and void, it means chaotic and empty. God's first act was to send his Spirit to bring order and beauty and life. What he did in creation, he still does in redemption. He turns chaos into creation. Genesis 1, now listen, I want you to pay attention to this because this is good. This is good. This is the first time I've kept this in my heart for years. First time I saw this, I didn't believe it. I think this is, you know, you may not agree, but I think this is absolutely awesome. And this is reasons why I believe the Bible. This is just things like this just confirm the Bible over and over to me. Genesis 1 foreshadows the gospel, and the New Testament proves it. The gospel is preached in Genesis 1:1. Pastor, come on now. What are you talking about? The gospel is present right there in Genesis 1. It says that the world was without form and void, and the Spirit hovered over And God said, let there be light. That is how we were. We were lost and dead in our trespasses and sin. We were without form. We were void of life. And the Spirit hovered over us. And God said, let there be light. And when he did, you understood what the gospel was. It's preached there in Genesis 1. Well, now, Pastor, I think you're just on a stretch right there. I think you're just taking one of those pastor applications and trying to make it. You think so? You think so? You'd be wrong. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Genesis 1, has shined in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's my proof right there. That's the proof that the gospel is preached in Genesis 1. You don't think the gospel is important? It comes out in the first chapter, Genesis 1:1, the gospel is preached. It has always been the most important thing. It is the gospel. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And right there is our proof in the New Testament that Genesis 1 opens up with the gospel. The same Spirit that hovered over the deep in Genesis is hovering over dark hearts today. It brings spiritual creation where there was darkness and there was void. The gospel is God's recreation. The same power that formed the universe, the same power that pulled the stars out into space and put the planets and the galaxies, is the same power that brings resurrection life to you and I today. Amen? That's an amen. It brings the resurrection power to us today. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We are hopeless. We are useless. We are without form. We are void of life. The Spirit comes and God says, let there be light. The Gospels confirm what Genesis introduced. We won't go to these. You can write these down if you want to look them up later. The Spirit came upon Mary, Luke 1:35, creation in her womb. The Spirit descended upon Jesus, Matthew 3 and verse 16, empowerment for ministry. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8 and 11, new creation, power revealed. The New Testament completes the revelation. The same Spirit who brought the light at creation now brings life in Jesus Christ. If your life feels formless and void, the Spirit who once moved over the deep can move in your heart today. Without Jesus Christ, listen, man is lost. Man is hopeless. Man is void of life. He's a walking dead person. Well, Pastor, I got to tell you something. I know some folks that are lost. They don't look dead to me. Looks like they're doing pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Here in a few weeks, a lot of us are going to put dead trees in our living rooms. We're going to dress them up. They're going to look pretty good. But you give it a few weeks, all the needles are going to fall out. Why? Because it's dead. It may look good. It may dress up good. But it's dead. It's dead. And we see people and we say, well, Pastor, they look like they're so full of life. Listen to me. Without Jesus Christ, they are dead. The great author, Hemingway, war correspondent, had all these relations with so many women. He met so many famous people. He wrote all this famous stuff. He's a great man. He's an amazing man, an incredible writer. He's done these incredible things. He had a zest for life. Yes, if he had a zest for life and his life was so great and his life was so good, then why did he take a shotgun and put it in his mouth and pull the trigger? Because his life was void, without form. It had no meaning. He tried everything in life, and it did not matter. It did not satisfy. It did not fulfill. Without Christ, we are lost. dead in our trespasses and sin. The Spirit, number two, is personality in the Scripture. The personality is not an it. It is not an it. We are not living in Star Wars, and it is not the Force. It is not the Force be with you. That is not what He is. There are people out there who believe that the Holy Spirit is just this force that moves around. That is incorrect. Are you sure, Pastor? I'm not sure, but I'm sure the Bible is sure. He's a divine person with mind, emotion, and will. The Holy Spirit thinks. 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. He feels, Ephesians 4 and 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If He didn't feel, He couldn't be grieved. Amen? He chooses and He speaks. Acts 13:2, the Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. He is not a force. He is a person. Electricity can light a room, but it cannot love you. Power cannot comfort you. Only a person can. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, pleased, quenched, and obeyed. Why? Because He's not a something, He's a someone. He is a person. The Spirit's personality in Scripture. Number three, we see the Spirit's partnership in redemption. The same Spirit who moved at creation now moves in salvation, like we said. Out of the darkness, the Holy Spirit moves on us and God calls us into His light. The Spirit partners in redemption. John 16:8, He convicts. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and that is why people hate you. Don't expect the world to like you. Why not? Because He has come to reprove the world of sin, to correct the world of sin. The world does not like being corrected, right? Amen? The world does not want to be corrected. The world thinks it's right. The world thinks it has everything good. And there's a way that seems right unto man. There's a way that seems right unto the world, but the end thereof is death. That's what the end of that. The Holy Spirit has come to reprove the world and of righteousness and of judgment. Not only does He convict, but He regenerates. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. Folks, listen to me. If you are judged by the best 15 seconds of your life, you're going to hell. The best 15 seconds. If you said, listen, I can take my whole life and pick out the best 15 seconds of your life, it ain't good enough. Because we learn in Isaiah that what? All of our righteousness is as, very good class, it's as filthy rags. It's garbage. It's useless. It's no good. And we hear that and we believe it, but not always. Sometimes we think our righteousness is good. We're okay. Folks, listen to me. It's anything that is of not of faith is a sin. Anything that does not come through the Spirit is of sin. It's no good. It's your righteousness. I think about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. We know the story, right? The Pharisee stands there and he looks at the publican and he says, I thank God that I'm not like him. And none of us see ourselves as the Pharisee, right? Amen? None of us here, we are the Pharisee, but none of us likes to see ourselves as the Pharisee, but that's really who We are. We don't want to admit it. We all want to see ourselves as the publican and the tax collector down there as he's beating his chest. The Bible says he wouldn't even look toward heaven. And so I want you to get the picture now. He's beating his chest. He's probably got tears in his eyes. He's at the altar. His head is buried. And he's crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Wow. He's really repenting. Wait a minute. The Bible says of Esau, he sought repentance with tears and found it not. Just like him, he was in an altar with tears in his eyes, but there's a difference there. Understand something. I love the publican's humility. I love his righteousness, that he has buried his head and he won't look to heaven. But understand something. It's not his humility that saved him. It's the grace of God. It's not because he laid down and cried the tears and beat his chest and buried his head. It's because the grace of God filled him and he realized what a sinner he is. And because the grace of God is so good, it led him to the repentance. But it wasn't his righteousness that caused it. It's the grace of God. Pastor, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is just because you cry a lot of tears and just because you cry out and just because you're sorry because the way things happen, that's not what it's about. It's the grace of God. It's the Spirit moving in us that gives us life. He convicts, he regenerates, he indwells, and he seals. He indwells. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Get this, folks. Stop trying to reason with lost people. They don't have truth. I'm not saying don't talk to them. I'm just saying don't get frustrated. They can't receive. The world cannot receive truth because it seeth not him, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth where? With you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit has been given to you, departed onto you, to dwell in you. That is the greatest. What a gift that God has given us, that His Spirit comes to dwell inside of us. That is amazing. That is awesome that God would allow His Spirit to dwell in us. When you feel convicted of sin, say, "God, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living inside of me." That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's a referee, right? When you go out of bounds, he throws the flag. No. Come back. And then we go, "No, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go anywhere. I'm going to do it anyway." That's where the grief comes in. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives conviction and we don't want to pay attention. We're grieving the Holy Spirit when we go our own way. He is dwelling inside of you today. Do you understand that? We don't, but I hope you try. That the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1 that hovered upon the face of the earth and said, God said, "Let there be light," and the Holy Spirit that was there, that's the same Spirit that lives in you if you're born again today. Think about that. I have the Holy Spirit living in me that was there at creation. That's better than having Google. Amen? He's seen it all. He's seen everything. Think about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's who lives inside of me. And the Bible says he leads me and guides me into all truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing, amazing thing. He convicts, he regenerates, he indwells, he seals. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard of the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed to the day of redemption. Amen? The Holy Spirit came in and has sealed you, put a mark on you, and made you one of His own. From chaos to creation, to the chaos of the human heart, the Spirit's work is always to bring life, light, and order. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. This is what the Spirit brings to our life. The Spirit's partnership in redemption. The fourth thing is the Spirit's purpose in the church. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. John 14. The Holy Spirit's work in the church today is to reveal the truth, guard against deception, and glorify Christ. You understand that? I'm going to say that again. Remember that. The Holy Spirit's work in the church today is to reveal truth, guard against deception, and glorify Christ. He is the Spirit of truth, not confusion, not emotionalism, not error. He's the Spirit of truth. Why is truth so important? Because the Bible says the truth is what sets you free. The truth is the only thing that can set you free. Well, Pastor, these people think it's, people say it's so narrow-minded to think that only this way gets to heaven. Folks, it's the only thing that can set you free. It's the only path that sets you free. Buddha can't set you free. Muhammad can't set you free. Only the truth can set you free. How can all of these other lies set you free? They can't all be true, amen? They can't all be true, and it's only truth that sets you free. He guards His church from deception. In 1 Kings, I love the story, there is two kings who get together. They're talking about going to war. And the one king says, well, let's hear from the prophets. And all the prophets come in and say, oh, king, you're going to win. You're going to win. It's great. You're mighty. King, you're great. You're mighty. You're beautiful. You're awesome. You're an awesome king. You're going to have a great war. You're going to win it all. And the other king says, eh, I don't trust them. They're kissing up. You got anybody else? Hezekiah says, I got one prophet named Micah. He's a pain in the behind. I don't care for him too much. He always speaking negative. I don't like negative around me. He's always speaking negative. See, Micah was full of the Spirit, and Micah told the king, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And he said, bring Micah up. So Micah comes up. I love what Micah does. Micah says, oh, no, king, you're great. You're going to win. Micah's mocking him because he knew he didn't like him. But if you go back and read this, the Lord says He will send a lying spirit to fill the mouths of the prophets. And all those prophets come before the king, and they're full of a lying spirit. There's a spirit that lies. Yeah, there is. It says so right there in Kings. A lying spirit. Ahab wanted to believe the lie, so God allowed him to be deceived. It's a tragic picture of what happens when man rejects truth. When man rejects truth, he receives the lie. He believes the lie because it's what he wants to hear. Paul warned us in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 11, because they did not receive the love of the truth. They did not want the truth. Folks, we are living in a day and age when people do not want the truth, but it hasn't changed. They didn't want the truth in Jesus' day. Truth was standing in front of him and they killed him. God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God says, you want to believe the lie? I'll give you a lie to believe. And the spirit of lying comes. Jesus declared this, the devil's a liar and he's the father of lies, John 8:44. The spirit of deception is still at work today. It's flattering with egos, twisting of the words, denying the authority of Christ. But God has not left his church defenseless. Amen. He's given us the Spirit of truth. Paul said in Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits. There are spirits out there that are deceiving and lying. They are all amongst us. And I mean, isn't that obvious? They're all around us. He guides us into all truth. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. John 16:13. The Holy Spirit helps discern truth from error, conviction from condemnation, and God's voice from that of the world. He keeps us anchored when culture shifts and steady when false teaching spreads. Understand this. You need to understand this. In today's age, you really need to understand this. Truth always comes with a price. Truth always comes with a price. The price for truth is not comfort or popularity. The price for truth is your life. I don't know him personally, but I've seen videos of the guy that was the CEO of Veritas Project, James O'Keefe. I don't know that he's a Christian. He certainly appears to be. He certainly speaks like a Christian. If you don't know who James O'Keefe is, he exposes a lot of corruption in government and in different places, and he shines a light into the darkness. And they do a lot of undercover videos and that kind of thing, and he exposes the lies. And he was giving a speech, and he said this. He said, listen, he said, when you do what I do, you have to be willing to die. He said, if you can be, he said, what is your price? He said, what's your price? He said, will you sell out for $1 million? Will you sell out for $5 million? No, I wouldn't sell for $5 million. Would you sell for 10? Would you sell for 100? Would you sell out for $1 billion? He said, you have to understand in my business, he said, if someone were to offer us $1 billion, we can't take it. He said, because if you'll take one penny, then you're for sale. You're for sale. And the truth is not for sale. It cannot be bought. You can't sell truth for applause, compromise, or acceptance. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit a man to have all of the wealth, everything, but deny the truth? The Spirit is what leads us in truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free. Freedom always follows surrender, not compromise. I'm going to take a quick right-hand turn, and we'll come back, okay? There is a lot of talk going on nowadays, and it is spreading around the globe like wildfire, okay? And it is concerning the nation Israel. And I talked to a young man this week. This is a young man who probably somewhat in politics, not a big political kind of a guy. And we were talking, kids in his 20s, I think. And he looked at me and he said, well, I'll tell you this. He said, I hate the Jews. I was kind of taken back. I said, you do what? He said, I hate the Jews. I said, why would you say that? Why would you say that? He said, they're the cause of all the trouble. Look at all the trouble that they cause. They're this and they're that. I know where he's getting his information from. I know where he's getting it from. Folks, listen to me. That is a very dangerous path. And I believe that in these end times, I believe that the spirit of deception and the spirit of lies is coming against the nation of Israel. Well, Pastor, listen, We can debate it later. If you want to debate it, what's done, we'll talk about it. They are still God's people. God made a covenant with Abraham. And he told Abraham, it's called the suzerainty covenant, and God split animals in two. And when Abraham was in the vision, normally you would think Abraham would be in the middle of the animals, and the covenant would say, if I break this covenant, then what happened to these animals, let it happen to me. But when Abraham came out of the vision, it was not him in the middle, it was God standing in the middle. And God said, if I break this covenant, then let what happens to these animals happen to me. And people will tell you today, I have dear friends who will tell you, well, the Jews rejected him, and so they, folks, listen to me. He is a covenant-keeping God. He does not break his covenant. And he has not broken his covenant with the Jewish people. Well, he's moved on from them and he's gone to the church. No, the church was grafted in. We've been grafted in. But pastor, the Israeli nation is evil and they're wicked. No doubt about it. They are caught up in transgenderism, homosexuality, and so many things. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you all. But listen, we know in Romans it says that all the nation will be saved in a day. They're going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're going to turn. So we should bless Israel for all of the bad things they do? Absolutely not. Did the prophets in the Old Testament bless Israel when they were in sin? Of course not. They called out their sin. They named their sin. When Jesus came, he did the very thing. He named it. We don't bless their sin. And I don't understand this. God raised up Babylon to come down and take them captive and take them back to Babylon. Remove them out. It was discipline that God applied to Israel. But if you read, then Babylon got punished for picking on God's people. What? Yeah. Yeah. He used Babylon to discipline his people, and then he punished them for doing it. Why? Because they're his children. There's lots of talk out there today. I get it. There's lots of talking heads. You listen to who you want to listen to. But I'm telling you this. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is what you have to listen to. But Pastor, Tucker Carlson said this. But Pastor, Candace Owens said this. But Pastor, Tim Pool said this. I don't care what they said. I care what this says. I don't care what they say. Yeah, but they're saying this. I don't know if they're lying or telling the truth. I don't know. Yeah, well, I trust them. I don't care if you trust them. I trust this. This is who I trust. This is who I follow. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. And it's to who? It's to the Jew first and then to the Greek. That's my focus. This is my focus. Well, there's bad things going on in the world. Of course there's bad things going on in the world. There's always been bad things going on in the world. Well, Pastor, look at all the conspiracies. Do you believe in conspiracies? Yeah, I believe in conspiracies. It was a conspiracy that killed Jesus. They conspired and killed the Son of God. Absolutely, I believe it. Well, Pastor, there's so many lies. What should we do? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going, and whither I go, you know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and we know not the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You want to know what I believe? That's what I believe. He guides us into all truth. Here's how you can tell when it's not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces unity, not division. He produces unity and not division. False spirits divide. The Holy Spirit unites. False teachers exalt themselves. The Holy Spirit exalts Christ. Falsehood destroys faith. Truth deepens it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Endeavor to keep unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit is not confusion, but clarity. It's not chaos, but it's Christ-centered harmony. The Spirit of God is our divine compass within us. It always points true north to Jesus. Amen? He always points to Jesus. The Spirit of truth leads to life. The lying spirit leads to loss. The Spirit of God lifts up Jesus. The Spirit of deception lifts up man. The Spirit's invitation to believers: do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. This is a command to believers that we grieve not the Holy Spirit. We speak wrongly, we think bitterly, we act disobediently, or we harbor unforgiveness. We cause the Spirit to grieve. I will say that again. When we speak wrongly, when we think bitterly, when we act disobedient, or we harbor unforgiveness, we cause the Spirit to grieve and we sadden His presence. We cannot lose Him. We are sealed. But we can lose His joy. We can lose His power. We can lose His fellowship until we repent. When we confess, He restores. When we yield, He fills. When we obey, He empowers. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters is the same Spirit that hovers over willing hearts today. The Spirit that brought light out of darkness now shines the light of the gospel into our hearts. The Spirit hovered in Genesis 1, and it hovers today. Have you been resisting His voice? Have you grieved the Spirit through disobedience or neglect? The good news is He hasn't left you or forsaken you. He's just waiting for you to surrender. Today, ask Him, will He fill you afresh? Will He fill you anew? Will He anoint you that we may see truth? Folks, listen. In this day, truth is all that matters. Because it's the truth that sets us free. Heavenly Father, we come before You today. Father, we're so thankful that You have given us a spirit of truth, not of deception and lies, in a world where lies are swirling around like a hurricane. They confront us, they confound us. Father, we will not give in to the spirit of lies, to the father of lies and the spirit of deception. But Father, we will yield to the Holy Spirit of power and of truth. Father, we don't fear the world, because greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. The Spirit that lives in me is greater than the spirit that's in the world. Father, may this message take home to us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.